Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Random Chatter. This is episode number 104. And in tonight's episode, we are going to be talking about the dreaded screening room, which has Hollywood turning upside down at the moment. But first, Lou, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. Day off from work. It's a not sunny day, but at least it's a day off from work.
Well, yeah, there you go. Yeah, this is a little weird. We are recording at about 11:30 a.m. on a Wednesday.
Yeah, bizarre.
Instead of at night. Yeah, this is like weird.
I might not fall asleep during the show.
Oh, I'm not sure I'm awake yet. This will be interesting.
Oh, I'm awake. I've been playing Division for the last hour or so.
Yeah, how's that going for you?
Oh, it's good. I'm really enjoying the game, although I'm stuck on a boss fight right now. My character's cowering in the corner while we're recording, so he'll be fine for a while, I think.
Okay. As long as he's safe.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, if you're going to cower in a corner, you want to make sure that you're safe. That's the important thing that I've learned personally from cowering in corners.
Yeah, I'm good at cowering in corners, so this is right up my alley.
Is a certain skill involved.
Mm-hmm.
Up to anything else recently?
Not really, tell you the truth. A lot of work and a lot of Division.
Okay. Well, it does make work easier to deal with when you have an outlet of some sort.
Come home and you can put a few rounds into the bad guys.
Yeah.
How about you?
Well, I've been catching up on Daredevil season 2. I don't know if you've been able to catch up on that yet.
I have not. It's on my list. My DVR is full, getting fuller as the time goes by because I'm playing Division so much. But I definitely want to watch that. I've been hearing great things about it. Everybody says the new characters are great, Punisher and Elektra.
Have you caught up on season 1?
You're going to call me out on that, really?
I am, yes. Because I don't remember.
I'm halfway through season 1. I have not finished season 1 yet.
Okay. You really should. It's really good.
It is. I know. I'm really enjoying it. It's just I got so much stuff in my DVR I've got to get off. And, it's just finding the time.
Yeah. And, you have a limited amount of space on a DVR, whereas Netflix, it's always going to be there. So it's a little easier to put that off.
Right. Yeah. The other, I actually have been watching 11/22/63, which is the Hulu series for
now, Lou. You just shot your argument about why it's okay for you to watch DVR stuff instead of streaming.
I know. Well, I do that at work when I'm at lunch and I don't have my DVR handy.
Oh,
I suppose I could do.
I was going to say, you know what else is available at work at lunch?
Yeah, I know.
Via streaming.
Wow, I just can't get away from this. I'm just going to.
No,
gonna
I mean, 11/22/63 is supposed to be really good too. So.
So far, so good. Yeah.
I can't be too down on you for watching that instead of Daredevil. Okay,
thank you.
All right, so let's move on to our discussion for this week. Before we get to that, we don't really have any updates for the movie draft because it hasn't officially started yet. I think that's going to be this coming weekend. Is it this weekend that Batman versus Superman opens?
Yep, I think there's some screenings Thursday afternoon, actually, in my area. So,
well, as the proud owner of that film on the movie draft...
Yes.
I'm disappointed to say the reviews so far have been really harsh.
I know. Yeah, it's one of those things where this is such a big movie, though. Are bad reviews going to really tank it in the box office?
No, but if you look at Rotten Tomatoes, and last I checked, it was like a 46%.
Wow.
Yeah. Here's what worries me. It's not so much the bad reviews. It's that when you look at the good reviews consist of things like, there were some moments that were decent.
Oh, wow.
And it's not the worst thing I've ever seen.
Ooh, high praise.
And things like that. Yeah, those aren't direct quotes, but that's basically paraphrasing most of the good reviews of the film. So I'm a little
that
worried.
Doesn't bode well for it.
No.
I mean, I'm sure I'm going to see it this weekend in the theaters.
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to make gangbusters, at least on the first weekend and probably the second weekend, too. But... man, this is not looking good. And not only for this, but if this tanks, what's going to happen with the Justice League film and all the other films that are coming out?
Yeah, this was really the jumpstart for DC trying to do what Marvel's done.
Right.
And they've had so many fits and starts getting that going. This could be the last nail in the coffin.
This does not look good. All right. Well, let's take a look at the screening room.
Yeah, speaking of seeing movies in theaters.
Yeah, or not, as the case were. If you don't know what the screening room is, I'll explain it to you real quick. What it is you get a set-top box and you plug it into your television. Now, the set-top box is going to cost $150, apparently, but that's a one-time cost.
Mm.
So you plug this into your TV, and anytime a new film is released in the theaters, you can pay $50 to watch it at home through this set-top box. So it's basically video on demand.
Mm-hmm.
You have a 48-hour period within which to watch it. So you can watch it anytime you want within that 48 hours.
Yeah, you got it for the weekend. You were going to see the movie that weekend anyway, so yep. You have it that weekend.
Now, apparently, from what I'm reading from one of the websites covering this, that's $50 per viewing.
Per viewing or for the 48-hour period?
Well, per viewing, according to the only reference I've seen
that indicates one way or the other. I thought it was just $50 for the weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, well, if we step back a second, let's break down that money being spent versus going to the theater, for example. Because that's how I kind of judge this. I'm like, well, at first glance, I look at my $50, that's an awful lot of money.
Well,
if you go to the theater.
First, before we get to that, there's one more thing I want to throw in here when we're looking at this $50. That also includes two free movie tickets.
Okay, so they still want to drive you back to the theater.
Right. Or I don't know if it, now here's the thing, I don't know if it's movie tickets or movie passes, because, you know, passes a lot of times are not good for the first week or two that something's in the theater. They can't be used on holidays, things like that. So I don't know exactly which it's going to be. All of the references to it in the news articles are to movie tickets.
Okay. So. And that's one thing that doesn't really strike a chord with me in this case, because I'm like, okay, the box is typically for people that, well, they're trying to capture people that don't go to the movies, right?
That's the intent, yeah.
So you're going to give them a perk to go back to the movies?
The idea, we're going to get in a minute to, we're going to break down where the money goes here in just a second. Then we're going to look at who's on board, who's against it, and then we're going to look at the pros and cons. The idea is that once we get to it, we'll talk a little bit more about it, but the idea is that by also giving two free movie tickets, people are going to be getting back into the theaters and buying concessions, because one of the concerns from the theater owners was that we make most of our money in the concessions.
Right.
So there you go. The idea is, okay, well, you're still going to get that.
Yeah, I guess. The whole thing of people that don't go to the theaters are going to like this thing, and they're not going to want to go to the theaters, you know, for the perk.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know if that's enough to get him back in the seats in the theater, but
well, I've got an opinion on that. We'll get to that.
Okay.
Just in a second.
Let's go through the money. So the screening room, $50. TSR gets $5. So
yes.
That's not a really big take.
No, they get 10%. So okay.
And the theaters get $20 of the $50. And who gets the rest? Presumably the studios.
Yes.
Okay. And then again, the whole thing about the tickets going back to the theater, I don't know. I mean, the concessions being paid for, but you know, you go there, you're going to buy a soda and popcorn. It's going to cost you $20. So yeah, I guess the theater's getting more money down the road, but
yeah. That $20, I mean, $19.90 of its profit.
Right.
Basically.
Right. So how much does it cost to make popcorn?
Yeah. So, that's the money breakdown. So let's look real quick before we actually discuss it. There are a lot of people on board with it, and then there are a lot of people who are not on board with it. Mm-hmm. The founders obviously were on board. This is Sean Parker, the co-founder of Napster.
So
some
people
may
remember.
He's got
a little bit of credibility in changing up the status quo.
Distribution models, if you will. Mm-hmm. Not always legally, but yes. if you don't remember who he is, if you've seen The Social Network, based on the creation of Facebook, he is the guy who is played by Justin Timberlake. His partner in this is Prem Akaraju.
Good luck with that. Yeah, it sounds right.
He's an executive at SFX Entertainment Incorporated, which I know nothing about. But those are the two people who have founded this. Apparently, Universal, Fox, Sony, and AMC are showing, quote, serious interest, and negotiations are in the works. And there are some big names who are on board with this, too. J.J. Abrams, Ron Howard, Peter Jackson, Martin Scorsese, Brian Grazer, Frank Marshall, and Steven Spielberg. They are all shareholders. And according to Variety, most of them have also invested money. So there's a financial commitment.
There's some clout behind those names, definitely. Yeah. I mean, I guess these guys are invested and say, you know, hey, if something's going to change this industry, we want to be involved.
Right.
I would imagine. I mean, I'm not sure how much they really want this to succeed or not, but they want to be there in case it does.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah. Are they wanting this to happen, or are they hedging their bets and making sure that if it does happen, they're included?
Yeah. I'm kind of leaning towards that direction.
Yeah. Who's against it? All of the theater owners.
Surprise.
Everywhere. Yeah, including the Art House Convergence, NATO, not the North American Treaty Organization, but the National Association of Theater Owners.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Alamo Drafthouse, they've spoken up publicly about it. I think they are part of the Art House Convergence. That's a collection of different theater groups.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. James Cameron and John Landau have both spoken up against it.
Not as many big names against it, but, you know, hey, two big names.
Yeah, yeah, definitely names who are on the cutting edge of the film industry and the technology behind it. And, and people who are smart enough when it comes to this sort of thing to be listened to.
Mm-hmm.
So let's look a little bit at what they've said regarding the cons. We'll look at the pros and cons here.
Okay.
But Art House Convergence is saying that this will, quote, devalue the in-theater experience, which I think is maybe a little bit of a vague statement, but I think I kind of get what they're trying to say there. The Alamo Drafthouse founder Tim League said, quote, "We will see a wildfire spread of pirated content, and consequently, a decline in overall film profitability through the cannibalization of theatrical revenue." So,
okay,
this is going to make it easier to pirate stuff. Now,
well, the box, from what I've read, is fully encrypted. You know, not that you can have anything that's totally safe, but
right.
Is that going to be any worse than what's out there currently?
Well, the idea is right now, it would be hard for someone to get a copy of a film in a theater and make a copy of it and distribute it on the internet. Whereas if you had it at home, you could set up your little digital video camera. I mean, basically you could set up your iPhone on a tripod, point it at your high definition television and record it in a perfectly silent room. You could even direct the audio output into the recording device directly from your television or your stereo system, in theory. So now you've got good audio as well.
But now, I don't do this, so I'm not really versed in the world of torrents and everything else. But these movies are out there. I mean, you hear about it all the time.
Right.
There's copies, especially around, with the Academy Awards, digital copies are given to people to watch because they're not going to go to the theater to watch because they're too big of a star to be seen out in public and all this stuff. So, I mean, there are digital copies out there of these things, and they do leak out, and they do get out into the wild. So, I don't know if this is any better or worse.
Well, the way I look at it is this. The quality of the film might be better, but I don't know that it's going to spread like wildfire. I mean, right now, this weekend, if I want a copy of Batman versus Superman, I can find it.
Yeah.
Like you said, I don't, and this isn't something where I'm like skirting the topic. I legitimately don't.
Right.
But if I wanted to, it's there. Zootopia right now, if I wanted to find it, it's there. It's not like the stuff isn't available and this is going to cause it to become available. The stuff is already out there. Now the quality might not be great, but the reality is if you care enough to pirate it, you fall solidly into one of two camps. Either you are in a camp who just can't get out to see it in the theater and you want to get to see it right now and you're going to pick it up on DVD anyway, or, you know, because you want to see the film that badly. Or you fall into the other camp where you're just not going to spend the money anyway because you're a pirate and you're just building a big film collection of stuff. I mean, you're not, those people have not been shown to go out and spend the money on the stuff that they're not able to pirate anyway. So
right.
I don't really think that this is that big of a game changer. I don't think that the piracy angle, while it's a logical argument on the surface, I don't think that this actually changes the game at all.
Yeah, I don't think it's a big game changer either. I think it'll continue as is. Maybe there's higher quality copies out there, but still, you've got to be that kind of person that wants to get a illegal copy of the film.
Right.
And some of us just don't.
This next one is one I think is pretty legitimate, actually. This is one that I believe it was the Art House Convergence brought this up as a concern. Too many unknown logistical factors are involved. Such as, how is the money going to be split across the different theaters? Who is going to audit the revenue that comes in? So while this system has been presented and there are ways in which it looks good on paper, apparently there are still a lot of logistical details that haven't been ironed out yet. And the reality is that these theaters who are going to get compensated, the devil is in the details. I mean, the details are how they're going to get their money. So these do need to be ironed out.
Yeah.
In such a way that
these details are covered. Because they don't usually make much money off the film itself. Box office revenue is not where they get their cash from. It's the
concessions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Though you could argue that, I mean, the $20 that they're getting might be more than what they normally get from the tickets in profit. So that, on one hand, is good.
Right. You'd have an increase in revenue from tickets and a decrease in revenue from concessions.
Right. Well, but again, you get the two free movie passes. And even if this is going to people who aren't going to the theater anyway, they're going to give those theater passes to their friends or their relatives. I mean, somebody is going to be using
those. Use them. Right. Right.
That makes right. A good point. So. And then finally, there's an argument that, and I want to get to this a little bit more in detail here in a minute, but that people can either throw large parties or that a bar or, you know, some other venue could be showing the movie publicly and things like that. Now, of those two concerns, the second one obviously is illegal, and they could already be doing that with DVDs and such, but if they did that as a way to draw people in, they would have to make it known because otherwise you're not drawing people into your, let's say, your bar. And if you're making it known, then you're going to get caught. So I,
well, if they're not charging for the experience, if they're just, hey, we're showing this movie, is that illegal?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Because that's, there's an exhibition revenue,
a public performance. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yes, that is illegal. Okay. And the thing is, places like bars and stuff like that, they know about this. Hmm. This falls under the business model. I mean, there's a whole thing regarding music and movies and all kinds of other things that these places are already aware that that's illegal. And, yeah, like I said, I mean, they would use it as a way to get people in the door. But in order to make it effective in that regard, they have to advertise that, and then in advertising it, they're shooting themselves in the foot because they're opening themselves up to get caught.
Right.
The other argument, you know, 10 kids at a sleepover watching Frozen 2.
Oh yeah, okay.
So that's a legitimate argument, but on the flip side, if you have 10 kids over at a sleepover, you're not going to go buy 10 movie tickets anyway and take them all out to the theater. So, and those kids probably have other siblings, statistically speaking, or other family members who are also going to want to go see those films. So they're also probably seeing, like, if they were going to go see the film anyway, this isn't going to keep them from going to see the film because their other family members would have to be taking them, are probably also interested in the film, and they're still going to be going at a different time.
Right. But I mean, if it was something like you had 10 kids getting together to watch it at a weekend party versus 10 families going out in, you know, separate, which would happen anyway. So, I think I see a problem with that for the theaters.
I see a problem, but my argument is those families are still probably going to be going to see it anyway. If you have a mom and dad and two kids and one of the kids is at a sleepover and, you know, Frozen 2 comes out, well, the reality is the other kid still wants to see the movie. There's a good chance that either mom or dad, if not both, also want to st- still see the movie.
Yeah, no, I
and they're not going to leave the one kid who's already seen it at home by themselves while they all go see a movie. I mean, the chances are that's still going to happen.
Mm.
So you're right. It is a, like I said, I mean, it's definitely a valid concern. But I don't think it's the catastrophic concern that that the people against this are really thinking it may be.
Right.
I don't know. So there are definitely some pros and cons within the industry. And the industry is going to have to sort those out. But I wanted to talk a little bit about what our opinions are as moviegoers. You know, there are pros and cons for us as well as the audience members. So I wanted to kind of go over those a little bit. So yeah, what do you think? Is there anything appealing about this system to you?
Well, I mean, you know, like... I mean, we've talked about before that the movie theater experience isn't as good as it used to be.
Right.
That's changing. There's some theaters now that are giving you the nicer luxury recliners, and they have a better selection of food at the snack bar and that kind of stuff. But it's still not as easy as watching at home. And a lot of people have much better theater systems at home now where I've got great sound. I've got a bigger screen. I can pause it. I can get up and, you know, do something else. I can answer the phone. You know, I don't have to worry about being locked in and seeing something on somebody else's schedule. So,
right.
So there's some big pluses from my point of view in that. Also, you're not going out somewhere. If it's a, you know, nasty weather night, you don't have to go out in the rain or the snow. Nobody's talking over you unless it's your wife and you can, you know, pause the movie and let her talk then.
I would totally do that. And I would totally listen too.
What about you?
Yeah, I think that, all of those are things I agree with. No screaming kids, no people talking next to you or texting. If you wanted to text yourself for
texting,
some reason,
yeah,
you could pause it and do so, or not pause it in my wife's case. You do have more comfortable seating. You can eat whatever food you want. So, you know, if there's a certain way you like to make popcorn, you can make your own popcorn. But beyond that, I mean, you can actually do your own food.
Sure.
You can get pizza. You can get pizza from the pizza place that you want to get it from. You can hit McDonald's first. You could get sushi.
Yeah.
You can, I mean, anything you want for food, you can do. You can pause it for bathroom breaks. You don't have to, you know, while there's an element that's nice about having a night out, and that's something you would be losing from this. Going to see a movie really occupies your entire night. You have to drive to wherever you're going. And, you know, a lot of places you might have to drive 20 or 30 minutes to get to the theater you want to go to.
Right.
You have to, you may have to get the tickets in advance if it's an opening night for something, which is kind of what we're talking about here. I mean, really, I think a lot of the arguments for and against this both are for opening night. Things are at least the focus. It may be primarily from the industry point of view.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say for the sake of argument, opening night. So you've got to drive up to a half hour away. You have to get the tickets in advance, probably. You have to carefully select which showtime you want. And then you have to get there early. You don't have to get there early, but if you want a good viewing experience in the seats that you want, again, if we're going to compare this to doing it at home,
mm-hmm.
You need to get there early. You could be waiting in line up to an hour in advance.
Well, let me stop you there for a second. My last two theater experiences around here were at a new Cinemark theater where they have the luxury loungers, much fewer seats in the theater, and you pick your seats beforehand. So you've got to plan ahead. You can't just, hey, let's go to the movies now and get there and get a good seat.
Right.
You've got to actually pick your seats days ahead of time type thing. But the experience now is more on par of, hey, I'm going to go to the theater again instead of waiting for this to come out in 6 months on DVD because it's such a nice experience. The concessions are better. There's a lot more options. The one I go to has beer and wine and liquor. So if you're into adult beverages, you can do that. You know, you get this nice, comfortable seat. There's more space between you and the next person, so you're not hearing conversations. And there's something to be said for being locked into a theater experience where you're not distracted by everything else at home.
That is
true. Sometimes I'll like look at my phone or, you know, I don't do it in the theater, but at home I might, you know?
Right.
And this way here, I am constantly focusing on that screen. It's a much bigger screen. I mean, I've got a nice big TV in my living room, but it's not as big as a, you know, the newer, bigger screens at these new theaters. So,
right, right.
You know, I don't know. It's nice to have that.
So that is obviously a downside of this, is that at home you have more distractions. You're more likely to check text messages from your phone. You know, your cat jumping up on the counter and knocking something onto the floor, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be as dark as it would be in a theater, generally speaking. So visually, there are other distractions as well. You're right. That is definitely a downside. Now, to the other point you were speaking to, you have to keep in mind, though, that what you're talking about does not represent the average theater.
No, and this is that newer style theater cropping up. And that right. kind of comes to the other point I was going to make. If the theater is just concentrating on giving us a better movie theater experience, I wouldn't be looking for something like the screening room to maybe put in my house.
Or you would only look at it as a supplement. You would look at it when you couldn't go to the theater otherwise, and this was an avenue that's available to you. I think that, I mean, kind of jumping to the end of the discussion here, but my point of view is that this is something I would use as a supplement to my movie watching experience. This would not be my primary way of watching movies, but this would make it so that, I mean, I would do probably half my movies in the theater and half at home. Because here's my other thing. When we're talking about the pros of this system, you know, there's stuff like the no lines and getting whatever food you want and stuff like that. Those are, I want to say those are more superficial benefits. Mm-hmm. For me, what I really like about this system is right now I've got a 6-year-old who's a special needs kid. Not severely so, but enough that finding a babysitter is difficult. Plus, we just moved to a new area, so, you know, doubly so. My wife's work schedule is very radically different from mine. It's hard for us, A, to be able to make arrangements to get out, and B, to just block out enough time to sit and watch a movie at the times that we would normally have to do it to go to the theater. So, and again, like I was getting at before, going out to do this, you know, you've got the half hour drive there, you've got possibly an hour waiting in line, you've got the 2 hours of the film, plus you've got the 15 minutes worth of trailers that come before it, plus a couple more ads for Coca-Cola and go get your concessions and turn your phone off, et cetera, et cetera. Then you've got the actual movie, and then you've got another half hour drive home. I mean, a 2-hour movie is now a 4-hour event.
Hmm.
So that makes that even more difficult. So if we had this system here, I could wait until after Nicholas goes to bed, and then we can start the movie at whatever point we want. We can start it at 10 o'clock. We can start it at midnight. We could start it at 3 o'clock in the morning if we wanted to, or after he gets on the bus. You know, sometimes I work evenings and she always works night shift. He gets on the bus for school at 8 o'clock in the morning. My wife and I could watch it from 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock. She could go to bed because she works a night shift, and I could get ready to go to work for the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it less of an inconvenience.
Pluses and minuses to this. I mean, I like the concept. My fear for myself is if I had this in my house, would I become lazy about going to the theater and then not going as often and eventually not going at all? You know, I could see that happening to me. If like, oh, you know, I'll just watch it at home. It's the same money if I spend it going out versus here. And I don't have to worry about getting dinner beforehand. We can just cook it here and eat while we're watching the movie, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'd worry about complacency setting in and just never going to the theater again.
But I think that for some movies, it might not be that big of a deal, whereas for other movies, you would still want to go see it in a theater. I mean, you're probably still going to...
The only thing I see in the theaters nowadays really are action movies, something that deserves a big screen treatment, you know, in my opinion.
So in theory, you would see more films.
Maybe.
I mean, yeah, you can always see them later on DVD. But the idea is you would see more first-run films this way, because you're still going to go see Batman versus Superman in the theater. You're still going to go see Star Wars Rogue One in the theater. Captain America Civil War, you're still going to see in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
But something like, I don't know, Neighbors 2 or a comedy or something like that that doesn't have a bunch of special effects and, you know, things.
Everybody
where...
should go see Neighbors 2 in the theaters. I'm just saying.
Oh, you do. Was that one of the ones you got for your movie draft?
Oh, maybe.
Okay.
So no, I see what you mean. You're right. I would probably see more movies that I wouldn't think deserved a big screen treatment at home. But then again, maybe not, because I'm looking at spending the same amount of money seeing it at home then if I would if I went out to the theater to see it.
Well, you know, here's my take on it.
$50 a movie.
I used to go to the movie literally every weekend. Literally. And part of my justification was at the time I was doing a movie chatter podcast. And every week we would review whatever the movie was. So that was my justification for going. And really, I went because I wanted to go. Mm. I just like seeing movies. And going every weekend was what I did. Well, now, instead of seeing, on average, 52 movies a year in the theaters, I see what feels like maybe four.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it is just because of the logistical issues involved.
Yeah, that would certainly, for someone like you with logistics, that would be definitely the case, I think. Yeah, you'd probably see more first-run movies.
So for me, this would be a big deal. This would be a big benefit. Because again, I can wait until Nicholas goes to bed or Nicholas is at school, and I can watch it when it's convenient for my schedule. And a four-hour production just turned into a two-hour production, which is also more beneficial to my schedule. And I think a lot of people would find themselves in this sort of a situation. Or, I mean, I could send Nicholas or people with other kids, they could send their kids downstairs to the basement to play video games or something like that while you're watching a movie that you might not want the kids to watch upstairs in the living room. So, again, not an ideal viewing situation, but if it would prevent you from being able to go to the theater otherwise anyway, at least you're getting to see it this way, whereas you wouldn't otherwise. Other points that have been brought up are that this is a better way for parents to be able to screen movies for their kids.
Mm-hmm.
If even barring the idea of watching it first this way, if you saw a scene coming up that looked like it was inappropriate for the kid, you could always pause it and have the kid leave the room for a minute and come back in if it really came down to that. And as far as like multiple viewings, I don't know if this would be possible with this because they haven't talked at all about whether you can rewind and fast forward. But right now on iTunes, if you rent an iTunes movie, it's kind of the same deal. Once you start watching it, you have 48 hours to watch that movie, but you only get to watch it one time. However,
right, yep.
When the credits start to play, you can rewind it all the way to the beginning if you want and watch it again. So,
well, if, a loophole.
Yeah. So if this system has the same sort of a thing where it flags it as being watched once it's complete, then you could do that. This would be a great tool for parents to screen movies for kids. And again, it might give parents a way to consider a film for their child that maybe they wouldn't otherwise. If you had a young kid who you wanted to know whether Star Wars The Force Awakens was appropriate for them, you could...
I was going to say Deadpool, but yeah.
Okay. Deadpool, well, there you go. No, but I mean, there are a lot of... Like, I was on the fence about whether to take my son to see Star Wars The Force Awakens because I knew about the death scene in it, and I knew that while it wasn't a graphic scene, it was an emotionally complicated one where he might not understand why two people are talking and seemingly having an emotional father and son moment, and then all of a sudden one gets executed. I didn't know if he would be able to handle that or not. So I would have wanted...
And you definitely want to make sure he understands that's not a good father-son conversation.
Right.
Ending.
Right. That's not something he has to worry about with me. You know, but it's that sort of thing. You want to be able to be an involved parent. And this is a way in which involved parents might be able to experience more films. And so that in theory would be a good thing. And then finally, if you have a larger family, if you've got, you know, two parents and three kids at $12 a ticket, I mean, that's $60 right there to go to the theater, aside from wrangling the kids, having them be patient while they're waiting in line, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, going to the movies, if you've got three kids, that can be like $100 or more experience. And again, yeah, the movies, the theaters aren't making as much if they can get away with doing that for $50 instead of $100. That's very true. But the reality is a lot of families, their budget is such that they just can't afford to go drop $100 to see a movie whenever they want. So they just don't go. So it's not like this is money that theaters are losing. This is money that the theaters aren't getting right now anyway. So
all very good points. I mean, this is now when is this supposed to be coming out? Do we have any time frame?
No, not that I've heard of.
Because I hadn't seen anything either.
Yeah, I think that this is still something that's in negotiation behind the scenes with the studios, because they would have to get the studios on board in order to have films to distribute. Because who's going to want to pay the upfront cost of the set-top box, which is not a cheap set-top box either? I mean, you figure you can get the Apple TV for $69. You can get a Roku box for, I think, somewhere around $50. Amazon's streaming box and Google's, I think, are also around the $50 price point. And this is $150. Right. This is three times as much. And every time you use it, you have to pay money. You want to make sure that you have things set up so that you're getting at least the vast majority of the theatrical releases available when they come out. So I think it's something where they're still trying to nail down all of the negotiations right now before anything gets released about a street date.
Yeah. Well, something to keep our eyes on. I mean, I think this is definitely going to be a game changer if it does hit the streets.
Yeah.
May change the way a lot of us go see movies and might change the way theaters treat us, too. I mean, if it does a push to make more theaters an experience of going. I mean, like I said, that Cinemark theater is in North Haven for me, so it's about 20 minutes away, 25 minutes. I really wish the theater the next town over that's 5 minutes away was like that.
Right.
You know, I haven't gone to that theater anymore since the other one's opened up. I drive a little further. I, you know, maybe I don't see as many movies, but to me, it's all about the experience. If it's a good experience, I'd rather see a good movie on a big screen.
Oh, I agree. I found a theater finally nearby that it's not as nearby as, I mean, I'm probably closer to at least probably three other theaters. But I really like this other theater. So I will drive past these other three theaters to go to the one I like. And I think that more and more as these I don't even want to say premium theaters, because this one is not a premium one. It's just, it's a nicer theater. I think that as the theaters start investing more in the comfort and the overall experience for the audience member, I think that the smaller theaters that have not been keeping up with their facility as well are going to suffer even more than they have been.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But the theaters do need to do something to keep people in. But, you know, this is something that's been going on for years now. The screening room situation, I think, is bringing it to a light. And I think it's kind of, you know, the first shot has been fired now. But I think that the theaters have seen this sort of thing coming for a long time. I mean, aside from piracy, you have the fact that overall trips to the box office have dropped anyway, and that's why we're seeing more of these premium theaters like the Alamo Drafthouse, which I personally can't endorse highly enough. I mean, I may disagree with some of their points about the screening room, but man, they're awesome theaters.
I still haven't been to one. I got to go.
Oh, we totally have to make a road trip and go.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's why more theaters like this are popping up. That's why the IMAX thing is a bigger deal now. That's why they're doing 3D. That's why they're doing the D-Box stuff. They're trying to get more people into the theaters because it's been declining. That's why you're getting better concessions now. More places are doing things like hamburgers and pizza and things like that instead of just popcorn and nachos. It's because the theaters have seen the writing on the wall for a while now, and they know that there's a problem. And then in addition, it's been made worse by the fact that, I mean, Star Wars really epitomized it. Star Wars is coming out digitally next Wednesday, I think, and then on DVD and Blu-ray next Friday. I might have my dates a little bit off, but basically next week this stuff is coming out, and it's only, 4 months ago that it was in the theater?
Right.
That's unheard of. I mean, years ago, it used to be we'd be waiting another 2 or 3 years to get Star Wars on a home theater. Now something hits the theaters and it's like, oh, well, you know, I didn't get to see it opening weekend. This is week two. Yeah, I guess I could go see it. Nah, the DVD will be out in 3 months.
Right.
So theaters are losing money that way, too. They need to come up with some changes to their business model that are keeping up with the times. Look at Netflix. They used to just mail DVDs, and now their streaming system is, I mean, that's like the main way people use Netflix right now. I still get the discs, but when you look at it, I imagine that there are more people that do the streaming now than the actual physical DVDs. If Netflix hadn't jumped on board with that and seen the direction things were headed, I think Netflix would be struggling right now.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, they'd be getting passed by Hulu and everybody else.
Yeah. And now they're doing their own content. I mean, we talked at the beginning of the episode about Daredevil. Mm. And, you know, they've got all of these Marvel shows now. I mean, this is a big deal. You have to adapt to the changes. And right now, the entertainment industry has gone through a lot of changes. And I don't see that the theaters have really kept up. And I think the theaters know this. And this is why the screening room scares them so much. Because I think that they know that this change is coming. They don't know how to get ahead of it. And they see themselves losing some revenue as a result. But I think it really boils down to what you said, Lou. I don't think that it's, you didn't say this part of it, but I don't think that attacking the screening room is really going to be the solution for the theaters. I think that what they need to do is they need to better compete. They need to do exactly what you said. They need to make the theater going experience a better experience, because then you're competing with the home experience. I mean, I don't have a surround sound system hooked up right now. I've got an old crappy one I need to replace, and we've got kind of a small living room in this house, so I just haven't set it up. But, you know, watching a comedy, I'm not going to care. Watching Batman versus Superman, I'm totally going to the theater for that, because that'll be a better experience for me. And the theaters need to focus on what's going to make a better experience for the customer, so that, yeah, they can still get a little bit of money from the screening room when the customer can't make it to the theater otherwise. But, I mean, because, you know, dropping $50 is still a decent chunk of money. I'm not going to just, you know, do it on impulse probably, but they need to compete with what people are already doing in their homes. That's what it boils down to. That's the approach they need to take. They need to be more aggressive with the experience that they are offering, rather than trying to stop the video on demand experience from coming to the homes, because it is going to come.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. Well, I think, I mean, I'd love to hear our listeners' thoughts on this.
Oh, yeah.
You know, get a hold of us an email, podcast@randomchatter.com. Send us your thoughts as to how you like to view movies. Would you rather be at home? Would you rather be in a theater? Do you like a packed theater, the old days where you're sitting close together? Or do you want to be in one of those luxury recliners where you've got space to stretch out and enjoy the movie? So we'd love to hear that kind of stuff. And tell us what you think of the screening room as well, too. You can find us on Twitter as well, at Random Chatter. You can find me on Twitter at Lou Secchi. That's Lousecki. And Eric, where can they find you?
You can find me at Eric Blythe. That's ErikBlythe. And you can find all of our podcasts over at randomchatter.com. We've got the entire network over there. We've got this, our main flagship show. We've got The Outer Rim, which is our news show. Echo Base is our Star Wars show. And then we also have the Sabacc Table, which covers Star Wars gaming, which we're very proud to have back. We've just added the Retro Convo to the network, covering older things that we've missed. I think they cover things all the way up through 1996.
I look through and see some of their shows titles. I'm like, oh, I got to listen to that one. I remember that so well. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
fun stuff.
They've got some good stuff, and they've got some great hosts too. We're really proud to have them on the network. So I think their first episode is actually I think it's going live today as we record this.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, they've got a back catalog already through iTunes, but we're going to be covering them going forward as well. They're going to be cross posting with us. So leave us reviews in iTunes. We're also on Stitcher now as well. So look for us there. We would love to get some reviews, and you know, word of mouth. Let your friends know about the shows as well. And we normally record live on Tuesdays and Thursdays at about 9 p.m. Eastern. It's generally a little bit after 9 p.m., but if you show up at 9 p.m., you kind of catch us like just logging in and saying hi and kind of getting our act together before we hit the record button. So it's always a good time. We've got a chat room there people can participate in. You can get to it by going to randomchatter.com/live or just pulling up Ustream and doing a search for Random Chatter. So that's going to be it for this episode of Random Chatter. To hit the closing credits here, the music you hear in this podcast is The Perfect Heist by Blue Stolly. This podcast is copyright 2016 randomchatter.com, and Asilius the Sentence Sounds, all trademarks are owned by their respective owners. Until next week, take care.